Good morning, everyone. Should we open up with prayer? You know, the Word of God says His Word is a lamp unto our feet, and it is a light unto our path. So when we hear the Word of God, when we gather together and we listen to His Word from the Bible, there's a light that is shining, that is switched on, so we don't walk in darkness. So Father, I thank You this morning for Your Word, which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And as we read from Your Word today, Father, we thank You that anything that was in darkness is brought out into the light. We are enlightened. We know what to do. We are encouraged. Your Word strengthens us, and we bless You for that, because Your Word says the flowers will fade away, the grass will wither, but Your Word remains the same, and this is what we feast on this morning. So we thank You in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Good morning, everyone. Thank you. I'm really delighted to be here. And today I'm going to be talking about delighting in your weaknesses. And I was reading, you know, I've been reading from, I think a couple of weeks ago, actually, I was reading from 2 Corinthians. That's where I was in my daily reading. And when I got to chapters 11 and 12, it was just so amazing because, God just opened my eyes to really see what that word was saying. And it's in chapters 11 and 12 in 2 Corinthians where Paul writes about boasting and delighting in his weaknesses. And he says, you know, if I'm going to boast, I'm going to boast about my weaknesses. If I'm going to speak about anything, I'm going to be speaking about my weaknesses. He begins to boast about his sufferings, of all the various hardships and sufferings that he had endured in his ministry. So if you have your Bibles, if you kindly turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I'll start reading from about verse 21. 21 to 29. It's longish, but I want to show you something there. So 2 Corinthians chapter 11 from verse 21. Okay, so it says in my version, whatever anyone else dares to boast about, I'm speaking as a fool, I also dare to boast about. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they Abraham's descendants? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I am out of my mind to talk like this. I am more. I have worked much harder. I've been in prison more frequently. I've been flogged more severely. And I've been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus 1. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from the Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I have labored. And I have toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have gone without food. I have been cold and naked. And besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I do not feel weak? Who is led into sin and I do not inwardly burn? If I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. Amen. You know, this is Paul. The amount of things he went through, facing death every day, danger in sea. You know, so he suffered a great deal. But he says, if I must boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. And then when you go on into chapter 12, from verse 7, he then says, you know, it's not just did he suffer this, but then he then goes on to say, so in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 from verse 7 to 10, he says, therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. And three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses. I delight in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Oh, wow. Only someone filled with Jesus Christ can say, for when I am weak, then I am strong. And so today, I just wanted to encourage you, actually. There's a lot of people, because of the times that we're living in, our weaknesses have been exposed, you know. But before I go into that, I just want to ponder a little bit on what to delight is. What does it mean to delight? It's to derive great pleasure from. You know, it sounds so ironic. I'm going to talk about weaknesses, and then I'm going to talk about deriving great pleasure from them. You know, to have joy and experience happiness and glee and excitement from your weaknesses. You know, pleasure, gratification from your weaknesses. You know, James, the brother of Jesus, puts it another way in James 1 verse 2. He says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith develops patience, or some versions say perseverance, so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. So our weaknesses, our diverse temptations, our tribulations, they produce in us patience or perseverance or a new determination, a diligence, a new level of diligence in our lives. And therefore, that's why we should count it all joy. And therefore, that's why we should rejoice and delight in them, because they are producing for us something far greater. You know, the last 5 months it's been about five months, I think, in lockdown. We have exposed a lot of our weakness. The lockdown has exposed a lot of our weaknesses. Before lockdown, a lot of us were really busy with our daily lives, you know, going to work, managing children, school runs, and even very busy with church activities, weren't we? We'd go out healing on the streets, we'd go out for this, that, and the other, tea rooms, and all sorts of things going on. And we were very busy with our lives, that in such an environment, whoever was weak or whoever was experiencing any weaknesses, it was quite easy to hide behind all of the busyness and not really expose the weaknesses. But now that we've been in one form of lockdown or the other, and we've been holed up in our homes for the last 5 months or so, suddenly some of our weaknesses are being exposed. You know, some of us are experiencing loneliness. That's a weakness. You know, we are experiencing an inability to cope on our own. That's a weakness. You know, we are isolated. Some of us have even faced illness or sickness or death. You know, death of a loved one, someone very close to us, friends, family. And those are some of the weaknesses that are coming through. And we're finding we're having to deal with these things by and large on our own, in our own homes. Although, of course, we have Zoom and telephone calls, etc. But most of the things, because the noise has been stripped away, so we are in our homes and we're having to face up to the weaknesses. You know, if you think about what Paul was describing, he faced death nearly every day, he says, and, you know, three times, or I don't know how many times now, he was flogged. You know, he often went without food. He often went without drink. He was cold. He slept out at sea. And bringing it back to where we are now, you know, we've had physical, emotional, mental stresses. You know, the weaknesses have been exposed. There've been broken relationships. Some people have probably been in a place where their marriages were on the brink, right? And then you're locked in for 5 months, and it's make or break, you know. And some people have not been able to make it, you know. So there've been some broken relationships, and even with the children, they're beautiful children, our children, but when you hold up with them for 5 months, you know, it can expose a little bit of our own weaknesses as well in our parenting styles, the way we're raising our children. We don't know, you know, the school systems and everything that was happening was kind of hiding some of where we were getting it wrong. But now faced with a child every single day who's asking you questions and, you know, they want to grow, they want to be their own person, and you have to answer some of that and you have to be patient. So it exposed our weaknesses. And the easiest thing or the natural thing to do then is to fall into a depression, or, you know, to really feel low about your weaknesses, or feel like I'm incapable, or this is not working. When will we come out? What is this? What is going on? But actually, what I'm telling you today is what Paul said, is that let's boast. Let's delight in our weaknesses, because by having the weaknesses exposed, by knowing where we are weak, then we are strong, because then we can face God, we can face Jesus and speak to him without the noise, without the busyness. It's just me and him now and the weaknesses that I have. And I say, Jesus, this is where I am. But your word says, when I am weak, then I am strong. So this is where we are now, and it's a time for us to really reflect and go back to Jesus Christ and rekindle that relationship with him, you know, and really get to that point where you can speak freely about your weaknesses and say, Lord, teach me to delight in these. Teach me to find great pleasure. Teach me to find joy and happiness and excitement in my weaknesses. The fact that I'm not coping, teach me to find excitement in that. And he will show you the way. Because I believe, like I said, you know, his word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And if that's what he says, then that's what it is. And if we put his word to work, he will surely strengthen us. So we will come out, our weaknesses becoming our strengths. So I want to talk to you now about the original lockdown, which, you know, in the Bible, well, I think it is the original lockdown, but the story of Noah and Noah and the flood and Noah's ark. And a lot of us know it from Sunday school. And, you know, it was very lovely story. But I began to look at it very differently when I was prompted by a friend of mine, a very good friend of mine in Zimbabwe, who said, well, in Zimbabwe, if you think the situation is bad where you are, it's worse there. And she was telling me a little bit about what's going on there with their lockdown and their cases are going up, etc. And so she told me that they are finding real encouragement from the story of Noah. And I said, oh, tell me more. And when she did, I thought, oh, I'd like to share that with, you know, with my church family as well. But basically, I've been studying then the book of Noah. Like I said, most of us know the story of Noah. Genesis chapter 6, 7, and 8, that's where, you know, the whole story is chronicled. And I'll read a few snippets from each so that I can just bring out a couple of points. So in chapter 6, Genesis chapter 6 from verse 11, it says here, the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. And God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, I am going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I'm surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood. Make rooms in it and coat it with pitch inside and out. And it says, Noah did everything just as God commanded him. Now, I wonder whether, you know, God has been speaking to you and giving. If you remember in the book of Genesis 6, in that story of Noah that I just read, if you look at it closely, God actually gave him proper specific details of how to build the ark, specific details of how big it should be, how tall, how wide, where the windows should be, etc. And I wonder whether, you know, whether we are also listening to God's voice, if he's giving us specific instructions of what we should be doing in this season, or what we should be doing even after we've come out of this season. Just listening to his voice. You know, the word says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I take him as his word. If he gave specific instructions back then, he is able to give specific instructions now for any situation that you may be going through. And it's up to us to ask him, and he will show us. In the book of Genesis, in the story of Noah, it goes on to say, now I'm in chapter 7 from verse 13, if you're following with me, Genesis chapter 7 from verse 13. On that very day, Noah and his sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, together with his wife and the wives of his three sons, they entered the ark. They had with them every wild animal according to its kind, all livestock according to their kinds, every creature that moves along the ground according to its kind, and every bird according to its kind, everything with wings. Pairs of all creatures that have the breath of life in them came to Noah, and they entered the ark. The animals going in were male and female of every living thing, as God commanded Noah. Then listen to this bit, which is really exciting. Then the Lord shut them in. Ooh. The Lord himself shut Noah and his family and everything, all the animals and their belongings, he shut them in. Now may the Lord shut you in whatever is happening out there so that he does not pull you down. And there's a time for that. There's a time when God, you know, in the book of Revelations, there's in the letters when he's talking to one of the churches, he says, I am the God who opens doors so that no man may shut them. And I'm the one who shuts doors so that no man may open them. So he can shut you in for a season. And if this is the season when God has shut you in or has put you in a place of safety, in a place of refuge, and he shuts the door and no man can open it. You know, the name Noah actually means rest or peace. So when we say Noah's ark, it's an ark of rest. It's an ark of peace. It's a refuge. So God shut them in Noah's ark. So now we talk about Noah's ark all the time, but now we look at it very differently. It's a place of rest and it's a place of peace. So God shut them in. And if it also made me remember the story, you know, the Passover, when God asked the Israelites to take some blood and to put it on their doorposts and at the top of their door frames, and God actually then said to them, go into your houses, shut the door and don't come out until the morning, as in the book of Exodus. You know, and so again, God shut them in. It was a 24-hour shutting in. He says, don't come out until the morning. He shut them in then. So God sometimes does give us times when he tells us and he puts us in a place of safety. He shuts us in. He gives us specific instructions that we should follow and we should listen and heed to his voice. And even now, you know, Chris, it was very nice, lovely songs that you chose. We sang, you know, when we sang a song that says, you are my shield, you're my strength, you're my portion, my deliverer, you're my shelter, my strong tower, my very present help in time of need. You know, so again, you know, my shelter, my strong tower, it makes me think of, you know, God shutting you in Noah's Ark, in the place of rest, in the place of peace. Amen. So what the other thing that happened, so God shut them in, then what happens next? The flood came down, you know. It says, you know, for 40 days, the flood kept coming onto the earth. And as the waters increased, they lifted the ark above the earth. So not only were they, so, you know, the conditions out there that were dire, that were bad, that were terrible, causing floods, everything was killed out there. But those same conditions were the ones that made the ark rise. They made that place of safety and refuge, the Ark of Noah. We hear that it lifted, the floods, the waters lifted the Ark high above the earth. And it says, you know, on the 17th day, we know from the Bible, in chapter 8, Genesis chapter 8, in verse 4, it says, the Ark came to rest on the mountains of Ararat. So that when it came to rest, they started probably at sea level. I don't really know. It doesn't say, but they probably started at sea level. It says when the floods came, the ark rose, and the ark came to rest on the Mount of Ararat. And I was looking, I was like, where is the Mount of Ararat? And modern day times say it's in Turkey somewhere, but I don't know whether it's the same one. And if it is the same one, it is actually the highest peak in Turkey at about 5,000 meters elevation. So they were raised up. So the same problems or the same difficulties or the same challenges that everyone else was facing, or well, actually they were not facing it because the earth had been destroyed, but actually the ark was lifted up. So Noah and his family, when they eventually came out, they were on the mountaintop. So I pray for you as well. I pray for us as the body of Christ, as children of God, that when we eventually come out as a church, you know, as when we eventually go back to our church building or getting back into that time when we meet again, that we would have been raised up, that would have been on the mountaintop, that we will come out stronger than when we came, when we go back in stronger than when we came out. Because God, the floods, as everything is happening, we are actually being raised up. How are we being raised up? Because we are in that place of refuge. We are in Noah's Ark, in the place of rest. And you know, we're in a place where we are exposing our weaknesses, experiencing the power of God, rekindling our one-to-one relationship. You know, God says to one of the churches in Revelations, we're reading this in our cell group, that, you know, come back to your first love. I have this against you. You know, it says, you've done everything else. You've worked really hard. You've been very busy, but I have this against you. You've turned away from your first love. And this is what I'm encouraging you to do. Let's turn back to our first love, so that we are raised up in this ark of rest that we are in. When we go back into the church, we are at Mount Ararat. So we're starting from the mountain. Our church is already elevated, but I think we are going to be even higher in our spiritual walk, in our spiritual lives. So as the waters rose, so did the ark. As the conditions outside got worse, those same conditions became perfect for the ark to rise higher and higher. So, you know, that we people always say that the darker it gets, then the brighter your light will shine. You know, and even again, Chris, one of your songs that you sang, that you chose today was, you know, you are my rock in times of trouble. You lift me up when I fall down. And all through the storm, your love is, you know, your love is the anchor. It is your my hope is in you alone. So he does, he lifts us up. And I really thank God for that. You know, he lifts us up even in the midst of the darkest storm. So in the midst of our weaknesses, so we can delight in that because he's lifting us up. Very quickly, I just want to, again, going back to the book, to the story of Noah. How long were they in lockdown? This was very exciting for me because throughout Sunday school and throughout the times up until last week, I always thought it was 40 days and 40 nights. But when I studied the Bible closely, I realized that actually that Noah's lockdown was way longer than 40 days and 40 nights. The floods came down for 40, or the rain fell down for 40 days and 40 nights. But if you then read the Bible, and I would encourage you to go back to the book of Genesis, chapter 6, 7, 8, and read about the story of Noah. Actually, it says Noah went in when he was 600 years old. And it says it was on the 17th day of the second month in Noah's 600th year. So let's call it 17th February 600. And then later on in chapter 8, it tells us that Noah and his family came out on the 27th day of the second month of Noah's 601st year. So that was the 27th of February 601. So I made that to be a 1 year and 10 days. They were in there for 1 year and 10 days. It was the flood for 40 days. And then there was a time about 150 days or so when they had to wait for the floods to come down. And then they had to wait another 40 days. Then they had to send out a bird and come back. And all of that is chronicled really well. And if you go back into your Bible and read that, actually you'll see that the length of time was 1 year and 10 days. Right, we've been here for 5 months. Oh my goodness, we can't even do anything. We are at our tether's end, are we? Noah was in there for 1 year, 10 days. And not only was Noah didn't have the luxury of nipping out for a holiday sometimes and then coming back and being isolated for an extra 14 days after he comes back from France. No. They were in the ark for 1 year and 10 days. And not only that, they had animals. They had all sorts of sounds and smells. I can only imagine, you know, poo, cow dung, having to clean up. And not only that, it was the family, right? It was just them. So that was their bubble, I guess. But it was sister-in-law, three sons and their wives. Ooh, who was getting on with who, right? Were they really getting on? What was happening? Sorry, my phone just fell. What was happening? Were the relationships as strong? Were some weaknesses exposed in that arc? You know, and they didn't have the luxury to go out for a walk. They didn't have the luxury to order Uber Eats as we do now. They had to eat whatever they were eating. I don't even know. And it's not chronicled in the Bible. But it can't have been an easy time. It can't have been a rosy time. And we, of course, we complain. Well, I'm not necessarily British, but the British do complain, don't they? But of course we'll moan and grumble and complain and say the government got it wrong or the government got it right or someone did this and someone did that. But it's only been 5 months. And I'm saying this to encourage you because when you read the book of Noah, actually, it went on for a bit longer than that. And they still came out stronger. And I believe one of the reasons why probably their hardships or their troubles in the ark or their difficulties or the challenges that they faced, you know, with the animals and human beings in the ark probably were not chronicled because later on in the New Testament, we hear Paul, you know, he encourages us. He says, our light and momentary afflictions, you know, he calls them light and he calls them momentary. Then he says they achieve for us a far greater, you know, glory, which is a glory that is far greater than what we are facing. So probably the reason why all the little hardships that they faced in the ark were not chronicled was because actually we need to focus on the bigger picture, how they came out and, you know, they came out stronger. They came out on the mountaintop. They came out and God, you know, had a new covenant with the people then when they came out, when he gave them the rainbow and he said, never again will I destroy the earth with a flood. So it's for us to really focus on the end goal, where we are going. So at the moment, of course, we are in you know, and these are real difficulties and I'm not belittling any of them. But what I am saying to you is that the Bible calls them light afflictions. The Bible calls them momentary afflictions. And it says, don't fix your eyes on what is seen, but fix your eyes on what is seen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. So this is why, of course, when we're going through this in our own lockdown, we may be in trouble or we may be facing all sorts of things, but we might as well delight in these weaknesses. We might as well fix our eyes on the bigger picture and we're coming out. And so again, one thing that I also noticed from the story of Noah is that Noah probably could have come out a bit earlier, or when he sent out the bird at first, and he thought, you know, when we read the book, he sent out the bird, it came back with a branch, and he knew that the water has receded, but he didn't open the door immediately. He still waited, and I believe he was waiting. He waited another 14 days or so, that's what the Bible says. And I believe he was waiting for God's voice. God is the one who had told him to go in. He had given him specific instructions of how to build this ark and what to do when they go in. So I believe he was also waiting for God to tell him. And this is what we should do as well. We should be patient. We should try not to rush things. You know, God himself will speak to us individually or corporately as a church or as a country or whatever it is. But let God lead us out of this lockdown. He will give us specific instructions and he will bless us as we come out as well. So we shouldn't be impatient. You know, we shouldn't try and rush our own, because otherwise you open the door and there's still a flood. There's still water that rushes in. And months of having stayed in an ark of rest, in an ark of peace, and you open the door a little bit too early, and the waters come in and destroy the things that you were trying to protect. My last point, I think, is what happened after lockdown. So God, in Genesis 8, verse 15 and 16, God actually said to Noah, come out of the ark. You, your wife, your sons, come out of the ark. It's now time. So we should listen to the voice of God. He will tell us when it is the right time for us to go back into our church or come out of our homes. And sometimes this can be an individual instruction. It may not be for everyone. Maybe, you know, for me or for you, he will tell you something that's specific to your situation. But what I am trying to say and what I'm trying to encourage you with is let's listen to God's voice. Use this time to really soak yourself and rekindle that first love. There's no noise. There's not a lot of busyness. Get rid of that. It's, well, the business was, they got rid of it for us. But take advantage of that to actually soak yourself and listen to God's voice. And he will tell you, giving you specific instructions. And when they came out of lockdown, Noah and his family, Noah built an ark to the Lord, you know. That's what the Bible says. He built an ark to the Lord and he worshiped the Lord. And then God established a covenant with him or with man at that time. And that marked the beginning of a new season for Noah and for mankind. So brothers and sisters, friends, when we come out, you know, and even before we come out, but when we come out, why don't we gather and, you know, worship the Lord and really just give him praise and thanksgiving? Because if you're still standing, that means God has protected you. If you're still here, that means, you know, you were in that ark of rest. You were in that ark of peace. And we're coming out stronger. We're coming out. We've been lifted up. And we will worship and we will sing a song of rejoicing. Chris, we will sing a song of rejoicing. We will jump up and down and we will thank God for what he has done for us. And he will. It marks a new season for us. As a church, as Green Street Green Baptist Church, a new season for us in our spiritual lives, a new season for us as individuals, you know, as well, a new season for us, hopefully as a nation even, you know, and we should pray about these things so that we're coming out of it and we're coming out stronger. So my challenge to you, my friends, is our challenges, they are momentary, you know. Light, the Bible calls them light and momentary afflictions, but they achieve for us a glory that far exceeds them. My challenge to you is, yes, you are weak. Delight in it. Yes, you're not coping. Delight in that. Find excitement in that. Yes, you've realized that maybe your relationships are not so strong with your, I don't know, your spouse, your children, your family, or whoever it is. That's a weakness. Delight in that and ask God to help you during this time. Yes, you may be lonely, feeling isolated, ill even. You've lost a loved one. Those are all weaknesses. Delight in them. It's very, if I was just telling you because I was telling you, then you might question me. But what I'm telling you is coming from the Bible and it's coming from Paul. And that's the reason why I had to describe some of the hardships he went through. And having gone through all those hardships, he tells us to delight in him. And even James, the brother of John, having seen what Jesus went through, he still says, count it all joy. So it's not coming from my mouth. It's coming from God himself. Delight in your weaknesses. So I'm going to pray and then I'll close in prayer. Father, I thank you in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you for your word that is able to build us up, to strengthen us, to make us strong. And this morning, Lord, I just pray for each and every person at Green Street Green Baptist Church and anyone listening to this, Father, that you may strengthen them in their times of weaknesses, in the places where they are failing, in the places where they feel they've fallen down or they've come short, Father, that you may strengthen them, because your word says that when we are weak, that's when we are strong. So we lean wholly and fully on you. We depend on you. We put all of our trust in you. And we delight, we find joy in this time as we rekindle our relationship with you, Lord. We thank you that as we come out, just as Noah's ark was on Mount Ararat, it had been elevated. Father, I ask that you would elevate us as well spiritually, that we may come out stronger from this period of lockdown. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen.